And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. What is the curse? Why is Satan cursed more than the cattle? You see, the moment the people transgressed, all the cattle was cursed. They were given under the rulership of the man. And from now on, there will be bloodshed all over the earth. The animals will start eating one another, killing one another. Before they had their food in vegetables, in grass, in roots, and so on. Now bloodshed will start, and that is a curse. However, there is a greater curse. Satan will not die. He will live in death. He will live in hell forever. So, that curse is greater. The animals, if they suffer for a time and then die. And then nothing is left for them. They don't suffer anymore. Satan suffers all the time. And so will all those that join him. So, and then the Lord said, Upon thy belly shalt thou go. The Satan is very low, miserably low. And he cannot lift him up above his misery. And he's feeding with dust, with nothingness, with the basest things that anyone could ever desire. Satan is eating himself, and yet he's existing on and on. And that is going to be forever. It will never cease. And then the Lord talked of the enmity between the woman and between the seed of the evil one, and how finally someday the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent will bite the heel of the seed of the woman, and so on. And then they had to suffer the rest of the consequences of sin, and they started their awful and difficult life on earth. When we turn for the remaining few minutes to another temptation that is quite different, not because the one that is tempting is different. No, in this case, the evil one is using all of his craftiness and subtlety, all of his power, wicked power, to tempt the only perfect and sinful man that ever walked upon the face of the earth. And the Satan knows that if he could somehow manage to misguide, mislead, and stain with sin this man that he is talking to in Matthew chapter 4, that would be the greatest insult and the greatest hurt that he might ever be able to do against God. The greatest blasphemy. So here we can see a good example. How should one act in the moment of temptation? What is the right and the proper action? We read that Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Yes, testing and tempting is brought our way or allowed by the Lord, and it's very necessary for our spiritual progress. Without temptation, without testing, there is hardly any opportunity for a good example. Even when we want to do the least deed of charity, there is some tempting, some testing. Well, why? Why should we do it? Somebody else can do it. Is it really necessary? But if we really want to do that, well, then let's do it in a way that everybody can see it. Let's do it in a way that will not honor the Lord, but ourselves, and so on. Temptation and testing is going on all the time. However, often we don't even feel it if there is no desire in our heart to sin. If we serve the Lord, we are so well protected that many of the testing and temptations, we don't even notice. If we are far from the Lord, then everything is temptation and testing. Everything is too hard and too difficult. Why? Why me? Why this? Why now? And so on. So, the Lord was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. This is confrontation of two princes. The Prince of Peace, the Prince of Light, the Prince of Heaven with the Prince of Darkness, the Spirit of Evil. And so the Lord fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was anhungered. When is the temptation really felt and experienced? When is the temptation the most difficult? When the condition and situation outside and inside is prepared for that temptation. When we are hungry, then we desire to eat. The tempter came to him and said, "If thou be the Son of God," again, remember in the beginning he said to Eve, "Ye shall not surely die." And here again, he's trying to put the things under if, conditional. "Well, if thou be the Son of God, why art thou hungry?" It's not fair. Why should the Son of God be hungry? "So command that these stones be made bread." So in his temptation, the tempter, in his tempting the Lord, the tempter is trying to urge our Savior to do something that none of us can do, so everyone would later on have an excuse. "I could not endure temptation. I was so hungry, I have to yield to the enemy and to do his will that I might somehow survive. Because I'm not Christ, I cannot make bread from stones." But the Lord is experiencing or meeting these temptations not to discover what is in his heart. He knew that, and the Father knew that. But he is revealing his heart to us. He is also revealing the intentions and the methods of the enemy, and also giving us an example how to resist the devil, that he would have to flee from us. The Lord is answering by the word of God. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Not all of us will experience hunger in this life, but all of us will be threatened. Hey, if you follow the Lord, you'll be hungry. You will not have anything to live by, or any income, or any way of living. Everyone is threatened with this. And the Lord gave us the example. Are you hungry? You have nothing to eat? Yes, you will die. Period. Die. So what? If you eat and drink and still die? What's the difference? And in our today's world and in this country where we live, perhaps more people die because they ate too much than because they're hungry. So the Lord said that he's going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. If God wants me to die hungry, I will die hungry just like Lazarus. And the angels will take me into paradise. Now that was a strong statement. And Satan saw that he is a loser here. So the devil The devil is not taking as a tool of tempting the basic necessity of this life. He's trying something else. He taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. Look at that. Satan is quoting the Bible, the scripture. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Social prestige, showing off, and especially in a religious way. It's an awful thing to try to preach the word of God and to glorify myself, or even to honor another man, to prefer a person above another, one above another, to do anything that is not pleasing the Lord, to have any other desire but to serve the Lord and proclaim his message. To climb up on a pinnacle, to become so self-exalted and trying to make a show. Why would anyone jump down and expect God to protect him and deliver him and so on? Samson was jumping higher and higher and falling lower and lower, and finally when he was on the tip or peak of his foolishness and negligence, he said, I will prevail just as ever before. And he knew not that God left him alone. Why? Well, Samson was struggling for so long to go away from God, and finally God allowed him. So Samson became a slave, and he was blind. He was miserable. So, the Lord is answering. You see, the Lord is not ever arguing or discussing the things with Satan. He's giving short answers, firm answers. And every answer that the Lord gave makes the end of that conversation. And now he says, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Satan lost again. We should fear God. We should respect God. We should have reverence for God. We should never tempt God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain. And if that mountain could be recorded on the geographical maps, I would give it a name: human ambition, human desires. You know, there is no end of human wishes. The devil taketh Jesus into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Now, to make that closer to the dramatic situation that it really was for Satan, not for the Lord. The Lord knew ahead of the time that Satan is just lying again. In the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verse number 5 and a few more verses after that, we read, and the devil, taking him, Jesus, up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Now let's think about that for a moment, not in order to consider that offer. I hope most of us are over that moment, and I hope and pray that we will never be tempted to accept that offer from Satan. But just to see how deceitful that is, first, Satan is showing all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of a time. Why not a longer moment? Well, if you wait just a little bit longer, you'll see what happened in those kingdoms. How much bloodshed, how much hatred, how much evil, how much ugly things happen all the time. But if you look at the world just one moment when it seemed to be attractive, then it's glittering with the glory of the world. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee. Now that's a big lie. If he could give it to anybody, he would keep it for himself. He's always lusting after power and never has enough and never will have, because that spirit that is lusting for power in himself is very weak. And the glory of them, that glory is a shame for Christians and for the Lord, especially because he knew the glory of heaven. And the glory of the world could not ever compare with the glory of the kingdom of God. And then he says, for that is delivered unto me. Well, in part, maybe, Satan, by sin, entered into every part of the world. But to whomsoever I will, I give it. Again, he cannot give it to anyone. The Lord is the one that places the kings upon the thrones and removes them from the thrones. The Lord is the one that controls this world, not Satan. Satan only controls sin, or actually he is promoting sin as much as he can, and even in that he is limited. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And the Lord answered, get thee behind me, Satan. Or get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And so the devil left him, and the angels came and ministered unto him. When we resist the devil, when we resist the temptations, then wherever we open the scripture, we will find angels ministering unto us. If we yield to sin, if we believe the lies of the enemy, then we become sinful, and then we accuse God, we accuse other men, and actually we are under accusation. We have guilty conscience. So the time is way past, and there is much more to learn from these lessons that we read today. I hope and pray that the Lord will help each one of us to learn much more than what I have shared with you in this very weak and poor service. May the Lord give to each soul and to each heart and mind what is necessary so that we can resist the enemy and serve the Lord with a peaceful conscience, with a pure heart, with a free soul, that we may walk in Christ and enjoy that fellowship of his Spirit. And to our Heavenly Father for his goodness and mercy from all of us. Thanks and praise, honor and glory forever. Amen.